This is Corinne LaRue with the American Ag Network, and I'm here with Grant Mehring, technical agronomist with Bayer. And your specific brand is DeKalb, is that right?
That's right, DeKalb on corn and Asgro on soybeans.
Perfect. So, Grant, just tell me a little bit about what's going on for this year.
Yeah, great to be with you today, Corinne, and thanks for having me on. Well, we are sitting here at just the beginning of February, and now we've started to see that, yeah, even though this morning in the weather talk, it might be a little bit of an uncertain spring or a later spring, might not get as much April crop in as we have some years, we are planning for 2026. And a lot of those plans are already made on the farm level, but there's still a few things at play. So let's talk about both. I can talk about corn and soybeans, and I can even talk about canola and wheat, but more often I'm a corn and soybean guy. So let's speak first to corn, and then let's go into soybeans. What are we looking at in 2026 as far as corn goes? What are some trends? Well, first and foremost, here's something I love to talk about. Right now, we have the opportunity to think about changing one to two or three things on our farm next year. Now, we aren't going to change 40 things as we make 40 management practices. That'd be impossible. Everything's working good, but let's change one or two or three things. And so what are a couple of those things that people are thinking about maybe doing this coming year? Well, we've seen that when possible, planting your corn relatively early has been paying off. There's been people putting in their corn April 20th to 25th, right in that kind of early crop insurance window. And boy, we can see some really nice yields, especially when compared to later planted on your own farm or later planted years. So make the call and try to get some corn in early. But at the same time, we're actually talking more about planting soybeans early in that case. But think about planting early and what you would do. We're now at the point where we can think about those free and easy things that we need to do for next year. What are they? We remember we want to have, you know, the right crop rotation where we're placing our corn. We want to have our machinery dialed in so that we're planting at the right depth, the right speed, and things of those nature. So think about those free and cheap things that you can do right now to make things even better next, you know, when we do plant in late April and early May. I will say a couple of the most prominent things in corn right now that people are talking about are on the kind of disease and insect front. We have incredible corn yields here in my territory, southeast North Dakota, Minnesota joining. Corn is exceptional. Corn yields way too high compared to our soybeans, and that's why we kind of want to plant more corn. Our issues are kind of two to threefold. We have a major influx of the corn rootworm insect hurting our yields. This is a insect that lays its eggs on a corn plant. The larvae, the worms, the larvae eat the roots. They cause lower yields because, you know, regrowing a root is three times more expensive than making a leaf. You lose yield, your corn will tip over and be lodged, and you'll have all kinds of problems. And honestly, people in my area have lost up to 100 bushels because of corn rootworm. So we are talking with people about planting more traited corn. From Bayer, it's VT4 Pro, SmartStax Pro, SmartStax. And if you don't have that option, or if you need even further defense, talking about in-furrow insecticides, either with your liquid or different types of systems. So managing for the corn rootworm beetle has been, you know, half of my corn conversations this year. And it's really a dynamic thing because it's growing in range, moving further north and even west, and growing in severity. The second two things kind of are more on the disease front, and so we are seeing an influx of more tar spot. Tar spot being a very problematic disease in the Corn Belt, the true Midwest Corn Belt and southern parts of Canada. We don't have it at a level of being actionable here in southeast North Dakota yet. We don't need to pick hybrids. We don't need to plant a fungicide pass at you know, tasseling or R1, R2, R3. However, we need to get into our cornfields more often later in the year. We need to be scouting our corn, double-checking what we have going on in the leaves, because if we start seeing things or hearing about it in South Dakota or further south, we have action items here. And then the second disease is really this complex of diseases called Fusarium crown rot, and it leads to a crown rot, a stock rot, and boy, we are just seeing that we need... It causes some problems to us. It causes corn that pinches off and tips over and we lose yield and et cetera. It's a very common disease in North Dakota caused by four or five fungal pathogens that get in your corn plant and sit there until later in the year, and then they cause problems when your corn is drying down, it's hot and dry. So thinking about that disease complex and if you need to manage it, making some calls. So generally speaking, those are some of the concepts that are most widely being talked about with me at DeKalb right now. And obviously, it's not a whole inclusive list, but it's probably the three or four biggest hitters.
Okay. And, you know, just a little bit into canola and kind of your other areas. I mean, anything exciting happening in 26?
Right. Well, absolutely. So I will say on the soybean front, we are not yet launching our new trait called Viconic, which is 5 over the top herbicides, which will be very exciting. It could be somewhat of what we call a soft launch in 2027 in farmers' fields, depending on how we go with regulatory approvals across the world. But we are launching a new trait, and we'll expect more of that closer to the 2028 timeframe. But we're putting it in a few plots, but that's kind of on. We're just waiting to launch that yet. So we're still with XtendFlex and with no dicamba label at the moment. There isn't anything real new with soybeans, besides the fact that in my general neck of the woods, we just can't grow real high-yielding soybeans. So trying to find a way to plant your soybeans early and get August rains is about the biggest thing we can do. And maybe put on a fungicide like Dalar Complete that can get you 3 bushels. But it's just hard to get that next level of yield ceiling in soybeans. And so because we've had some lower yields in soybeans, it has driven some interest in canola. DeKalb canola is a wonderful canola. We have a breeding program and a wide footprint in Canada. We move those hybrids down into North Dakota. We test them in our own plots, and we found that they're really quite competitive in North Dakota. We don't have the market share. We don't have what is called InVigor, what they are doing. However, we have great canola. And so we have, you know, Liberty Link canola. We have TrueFlex Liberty Link, which has the stack Liberty Link and Roundup. And we have nice broadly adapted canolas. And really, farmers are finding that the yields in Southeast North Dakota on canola are pretty acceptable. And you get some work done ahead of time. And as long as you're kind of willing to harvest slow and harvest slower and then slower yet, you can actually have some pretty good success in canola. So I've been becoming more of a canola agronomist myself, and I actually formerly didn't get real well trained on canola. But those are just some of the interesting things happening at Bayer and in my job at DeKalb and Asgrow.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
No. Really a nice conversation with you today, Corinne, and I appreciate the time.
All right. Well, thank you so much once again, folks. That's Grant Maring. He's a technical agronomist with Bayer and specifically DeKalb. So thank you so much for your time today.
Yes, it's a pleasure. My pleasure.